You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Yep, hello.
And we are continuing on in kind of our more relaxed summer format with our testimony series. And so today I have a special treat for everyone. We have, and this is David's like favorite phrase that I use, we have kind of the OG of Blessed Hope. We have Mike Lutz here today.
Yay! Hi, but I'm a little concerned about the introduction.
OG. Yeah, yeah. I want to clarify. It's not my, I don't say OG. That is Malia's phrase that I appreciate when she busts it out. Because she does it in context of people you have to explain it. Let me explain what an OG is.
It just makes me wonder what you are expecting.
Yes. Well, but you are one of the originals that started Blessed Hope, so it'll be kind of fun to hear your faith story. Looking forward to that. And I was actually thinking when I was planning who to ask and kind of working through that in my brain, I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard your testimony, which is crazy because we've been, you know, coming to church together for many, many years now. So, and I even kind of knew you a little bit when I was in high school.
A little bit of youth group.
Because I attended, with Katie. I didn't go to your church, but yeah, I attended your youth group a little bit. So, yeah, I'm very excited to hear this today.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. So before you dive into that, why don't you, if there's actually anyone listening that does not know you, you know, one of our, what did we decide, 5 or 6 regular listeners.
Our massive audience.
Yes. Can you just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I am a farmer. I have been married for coming up on 44 years this year. Awesome. Two great kids who chose very wisely in their wives.
And, yes, they did.
And 7 grandchildren. They're just wonderful. Yeah. I'm not sure what else I should tell you.
How long have you been farming?
Basically my whole life, but full time soon as I got out of college. I went to Hawkeye Tech for 2 years.
Nice.
And so I was full time by 1976.
Wow.
And so I farmed with my father and mother. I figured this up last night, that we farmed together probably 40 years.
Man.
Wow.
So I'm very fortunate. And then as my sons got old enough, we started farming together. So it was 3 generations farming together. And now it is again with Ben's kids getting
that's
old enough.
I didn't even think about that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very neat.
Huh. Yeah.
That's quite a blessing.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I am curious. So 44 years, you said?
Almost. Well, in August, marriage? Be 44, yes.
Okay. What is the secret, Mike, to 44 years of wedded bliss? We need to know this.
Wedded bliss.
From my part, you've got to pick the right person that you want to live with and can live with you.
Yep.
And all my faults.
Sure.
That, and you put it in God's hands and hang on through the hard times and enjoy the others.
Yeah, that's good. I used to work at a jewelry store for a number of years, and so I always would ask people that had been married for, you know, a long time, because it's just, you know, one of those things, especially as time goes on, now that it's just less and less that you get to see that, and so that's pretty incredible.
I try to adopt the philosophy of some Mormon friends we had. He said, divorce is never an option. Murder, I'll consider.
That's awesome. You heard it here.
There you go.
From Michael Hines. Can I quote that on a graphic? You can
quote it, but it's not real. I never considered it.
Oh, that's too funny. All right, cool. So why don't you just go ahead and dive in then?
All right, I put together some notes, kind of the highlights.
Yeah.
And you can tear apart anything on the way or when I get done or ask okay. further. I would say my faith journey must have started, had to start with my parents. I was raised in a Christian home, and not Christian by name, but Christian by practice. Sunday was a day set apart. We never worked Sundays. And so we were always at church, Sunday school, the whole thing. So I would say from very young age, I knew that I wanted Jesus as my Savior. Now, the rest of that story will come later. But I was a great fan and loved Jesus. Mm-hmm. But through my high school years, even college years, Jesus was not my Lord. And I tried to live in both worlds. And it didn't work. I didn't like myself. I didn't think much of myself, which, you know, that constant conflict of should I, shouldn't I know I shouldn't, but I did. And then, like I said, in 79, Shelley and I got married. And a couple years later, we started having children. But Shelley's been a great influence in my life also. But after a while, one of my first experiences with faith is I was sitting in church and listening to a hired youth leader give a report of a seminar she was at. And she was talking about the need for leaders and all that. And I could feel that God was speaking to me. And then after the talk, she came up and asked me to start leading. And like a good Christian soul, I said no.
You didn't say I'll pray about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's the Christian answer for no.
No, it was an absolute no.
Okay.
And it was a no for 2 years. And the reason being, some of my faults is I was very cynical about kids that age. I didn't think there was much there. I figured we were in huge trouble. Another reason is I didn't know enough to teach. I'd never taught. I never liked school till I got to college.
How old would you have been?
Here's your pause. I had to be near 30.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. But I knew God was calling me. And I started considering it. And I sat in on a high school class with Kevin Hessen as he was teaching.
Oh, that's cool.
And really, I learned that teaching could be somewhat different than what I experienced. And I thought, well, maybe I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started. And I agreed to be a youth leader. And so for 20 years about, I did that.
Wow.
And met some incredible kids.
Yeah.
I learned very quickly that there really was great hope. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I learned lots. I probably learned more than I ever taught.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great growing time. But in that 20 years, we were also, Shelley and I were in I smile because it was young adults group.
Mm-hmm.
It was so long that it became adults regardless because we weren't young anymore. But during one of these times, we were sitting with a student pastor and we got into a really deep discussion. And from that, there was four couples mm-hmm. that decided to continue on and we got in a small group.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met, I believe, as every Friday night for 3 years.
Wow.
And I think maybe a handful of times we did not meet. And it was a huge time for me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I had read some of the Bible, not all the Bible, but one of the agreements we gave each other is we would read every day.
Mm-hmm.
And not just read, but study.
Mm-hmm. That's key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I was teaching, well, maybe I have to back up, because just before the youth group, or before the small group started, I was studying for a Sunday school lesson and reading through, and I don't know where in the Bible. I knew where I was. I can remember that. Mm-hmm. But I learned very quickly that not only did I need a Savior, I needed a Lord. Mm-hmm. And so since that time, it's been a battle of releasing more and more of myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, that's hard, isn't it?
Some days, it sure is. Kind of like this interview. It can be inconvenient to know the Bible, especially when it says, always be prepared to give a reason for your belief. Yeah. Nice. I thought, okay, Malia, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Aw, yay.
Yeah. Well, the other thought that, you know, as you say that, is it speaks to the power of what God does when we step into roles of responsibility.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I think that's why a lot of people struggle in their growth processes, because there's just that, and whether it's a teacher or not, but I love how you're talking about, like, I was involved with youth ministry, or I was teaching a Sunday school class, or I was involved in this. And when we step into those moments, that's when God, like, leads us the most. I know that's true for me. I learned the most when I was in a position where I was responsible to be able to help someone else. So that's where I agree. Like, I feel like I've learned more. God's done more for me than I probably have ever done for anybody else, because he puts me in a position of, you need to know what you're doing. And that's where I've learned the most is, yeah.
I'm not sure the youth needed me as much as I needed them.
Yeah. So.
So, I'm trying to look at my notes here. What's kind of next? I think the next big, because I was just trying to hit highlights.
Yeah.
The next big thing, I suppose, was when Blessed Hope started. Mm. And it, if I look back, it looks kind of like a scary adventure. But at the time, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was just, you do this step, then you do that step, and after all those steps, here we are. Mm-hmm. But if you put them together and look at them, you think, no, we're not going to do that. And we started in the park at Rogers Park. We ended up here in this beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the highlight, so you can ask from there. Mm-hmm. I know that I have been incredibly given much grace in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through all this time, I may freak you out, but I have had prophecies. I've had visions. When I was ready and when I was aware that it could happen. So, okay, I'm done for a while.
That's cool.
What's your thoughts?
No, I love hearing that. I mean, I completely believe that God speaks how, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just even the, like, even when you said back before about, like, as you were preparing that Sunday school lesson, is like, I know God was speaking to me. I mean, those are amazing moments that I feel like too many people don't believe is, I don't want to say real, but almost can't happen for them. It's like, oh, no, God's speaking if we're listening. Mm-hmm.
And I think most of us are not aware what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, when I feel the Holy Spirit, I have a very hard pressure of heat high in my chest.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm curious, when you were talking about how the transition from believing in Jesus and being a fan to making him Lord of your life, like, I know that's kind of a gradual thing sometimes, but sometimes it's just like a switch for some people. But I'm curious, like, what was it that kicked in for you? Was it,
I was reading the Bible people? Verse, okay. And it just spoke to me.
Do you remember which one?
No, I cannot. But things started changing shortly thereafter. Sure. We had some good friends, and we still have them, mm-hmm. but they were not leading us in the direction I should go, mm-hmm. and I certainly wasn't helping them. And so Shelley and I invited four couples out to our house we didn't really know from church. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, they look like they're following and we should be going, and they've become lifelong friends.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say anything against my other friends, but it's just right. that we made some changes.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Hmm. So my other question would be, just as a follow-up then, because I think this is really important to communicate to people, because not in our context of doing testimonies here on the podcast, but I've heard a lot of testimonies over the years, and sometimes what's missing is that making Jesus the Lord of your life.
Oh, sure.
It's more of a, I know who he is, I believe in him, but I'm not like necessarily following him. Even they don't say that, but that's kind of what their story is almost. So I just really want to stress that and maybe just ask you, like, what did that look like for you? I know it's a little different. I mean, the framework is kind of is the same, but it's going to be different for everyone, because some things are harder to let go of and let God truly just rule over us in.
Sure. The question is, do you love God? Well, mm-hmm. the Bible tells us in several places, if you love God, you'll obey me.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that I didn't know. I just didn't obey. Mm-hmm. And so I knew there's things that had to change in my life, and some of them have. I'm still fighting with others.
Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong
mm-hmm. yeah. mm-hmm.
battle, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of answer where you were headed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mean you don't want to confess all of your deepest, darkest sins out here on the podcast? I'm like, that's fine, fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Let's hear the list.
It's long and colorful.
Same.
Well, and I like how you preface it with, you know, it's the love of God, right? Growing up in the church from the moment I was born. And I, you know, I wrestle with this, a lot of the same stuff. And when I look back on my, even now wrestling with it. And I remember trying to force that obedience when I was younger. And even now sometimes I'll find myself. And when it's not rooted in an actual love for God, then that's where I get frustrated, angry, bitter.
And you don't change.
And I don't change. Yeah, I feel like you're this mean God that's, you know, trying to. And so I can look back and just see those. That's where I'd get angry towards church, or, you know. And that's where it was easy for me to fall into judgmental attitudes also, right? So as a Christian, I would sit there when I was got more involved and, okay, God, you're expecting all this, but look how all these people are acting. And then I was doing all my time focusing on them, trying to justify my own, you know, I'm better than, or I'm doing better than, you know. So I can look back on it, and if it's not rooted in that love, then it just never works. And
a common prayer for me to help with this is, lead me not into temptation, because you know me, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So, okay, nowhere in what you shared did this, but it's a question that came to mind, because let's just kind of put it out there. Anybody that's part of our church, probably, you know, since you are one of the OGs, see?
See? Just feels right, doesn't it?
Well, and just even those that, you know, have either known you either close or even from a distance, and, you know, just kind of see you as a leader and that in the church and your faith and all that. Was there ever moments in this journey where you struggled, like, how have you struggled with doubt?
Mm.
Doubt in whatever way it manifested in your life. Because sometimes I think we can look at other people that are further along than us, mm-hmm. and we're like, well, they never have struggled with doubts like I do. And so I wondered, I just, you know.
Doubt would show up when I know when I have been disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt my salvation, but I doubt my usefulness to God. Mm-hmm. You know, my prayer before coming here is not to make me look good, but make God look good.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is God doesn't love us because we're useful. He just loves us.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't have a lot of doubt.
Okay.
I have fears. This is one of them. This scares me to death, being in front of a microphone or getting up in front of people.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
I do not like it.
I don't either.
Matter of fact, in my college courses, I was supposed to give a class, a speech, and I just about refused the whole, because that's all I had left. Mm-hmm. And I took everything
worst,
for me to do
right?
it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Because I didn't care about the degree, but I did it. Yeah. It was lousy, but I did it.
Yeah, I give David props for just being comfortable doing that.
I'm not,
you
though.
You look that's so comfortable.
You do. You both don't. Do.
No. Oh, I'm not. Well, that's what I tell her. Like, at times I've made comments about her coming up and doing something. Like, hey, Malia, why don't you come up and do an announcement? I remember, and she will, like, I will walk out of this room and quit this job, and I'm done if
it
you even expect me to.
It ruins my whole Sunday. Like, I can't. Like, when I used to do announcements, oh my gosh. Like, that's all I could focus on in the morning, and I just was, it was awful. It's when not I, my gifting.
When I did sermons, when I would get done, I was completely exhausted and soaked with sweat. Mm.
They were so good. I miss a Mike Lutz sermon. Need to bring them back.
I mean, I'm more than happy to.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Let's pull out our calendars. And
So, kind of going back to what you're talking about, and just thinking, like, there's no biblical model in the Bible for a disciple that's not actually following Jesus, right? There's no biblical model for just being a fan. Like, that's not a disciple, right? So what would you say, because I have a feeling you're probably a pretty disciplined person, or at least you give the appearance
I appear that
of being
way.
Disciplined. What would you say are kind of the most formative disciplines for you over the years in your growth?
The commitment to reading the Bible. Mm. If you don't know God's Word, and not just reading the Bible, studying the Bible.
Yes.
See, I can't read large portions of Scripture. I get stopped, and I think, well, now, what did you just say here, and what's that mean to me? And so it's hard for the people that read a Bible in a year. No, I can't do that. First time, it took me 3.5 years. And that was every day.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
But it was great help to read the Bible. It was great help in that small group that I was in that was truly studying the Bible. It wasn't we had fellowship, but we were studying the Bible for a good hour and a half every week. Mm. And we could ask anything. Mm-hmm. And quite often we'd say, I don't know. Mm. But we'd keep studying and keep looking and growing. Mm-hmm. Another part of it was a pastor that taught me and showed me more of how the Holy Spirit would work in my life if I let him. Mm-hmm. So it opened some doors there for me to learn.
Mm. That's cool. I'm kind of thinking, sorry.
No, it's all right.
Just as we're in this series on, like, being a man of God. And, I mean, if I look at the landscape of our church, like, you're one of those guys. And I'm not trying to, like, I know you're not fishing for compliments here or anything, but, like, you're someone that I would look at and think, wow, like, he has been leading his family well. Not perfectly, but well, right? Mm-hmm. So, I guess I'd be curious, like, if there have been things you've done over the years to help lead your family, you know, leading Shelly and leading your boys, or maybe some places where you're like, hey, I could have done this better, so, you know, don't do this.
The list is long of things I could have done better. I really don't know the reason of why. I mean, we're very blessed with two boys and families that are Christians.
Yeah.
Because I've seen other families do similar things, and things did not work out that way.
Yeah.
So was it simply God's grace? I don't know. I just know we're blessed. I would say it's easier and beneficial because I got to work with my boys all the way growing up, whether they wanted to or not. I still hear stories of me standing at the bottom of the stairs, and I say, boys, it's time to go. They'll bring it up still once in a while.
Sure.
So we worked together. We knew each other.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of quality time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. saw my faults. Yeah. They might have seen some things I did right. Yeah. I don't know. I have considered that, and I've asked questions of myself. Why didn't it work in that family? And I do not have an answer.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, we tried to live a Christian life. The kids probably saw it, but they also saw our faults.
Sure.
I don't think it's an answer, but I think, because again, you're right. God only knows. When I think about my girls, you talk about discipleship. Discipleship is, it's not, let me sit you down and I'm going to teach you these points, mm-hmm. right? It's one-on-one. It's life,
yeah.
right? And so I think that's a huge factor is probably the time that just spending with, you know, your boys. And because we look at discipleship, it has to be this, you know, to lead our families has to be this mm-hmm. organized religious activity. And it's like, that's not it. It's just living as a faithful follower of Jesus in every context of life.
Yeah. Because you can't fake that.
Yeah.
No.
And so when it's authentic, your kids see that.
So as our kids are getting, as our girls are getting older, I'm starting to notice that of how much, and that's where my prayers, God, please bring good influences. Because I'm seeing how much more time mm-hmm. is being spent with others than us. Mm-hmm. Or others that are from the church or Christian, you know, and it's just like, Lord, they are, you know, every morning when I would take them to school, that was one of the prayers that we pray together is like, Lord, protect their minds mm-hmm. and their hearts in everything that is shared with them, because that influence, you know, and I've heard other parents say it, you know, they've used the word disciple. Like, I never realized how other people were discipling my kids in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
So that time is so powerful.
More than likely growing up, I would think easily we'd spend 10 hours a week working together. Mm-hmm. You know, when they weren't in school and before and some and always after and always Saturdays. And
Yeah.
I don't have the magic formula.
Yeah. One of the questions the families that you guys gathered together, that was nothing official in the sense of that wasn't like the church saying,
oh no,
that was couples, families that got to like couples that
just
said,
organic.
Let's organic. We want to do this.
There were probably 8 or 9 or 10 couples there that night.
Okay.
And 4 couples wanted to go further.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there was some resentment from some of the other couples later on that they weren't included. But by that time we'd been together so long that,
mm-hmm. yeah.
But yeah, it just happened.
Yeah.
It was a terrific conversation, a deep conversation of questions I had, other people had, and mm-hmm. we worked them over.
Yeah. So no official leader, no official, I mean, there might have been somebody that might have stepped kind of in that role, but like it wasn't.
The youth pastor was kind of leading it.
Okay.
And he did continue to lead it till he left, but then there was really no leader.
Yeah. I just, this is exciting, those kind of things, right? Because we, a lot of people fall into this trap of, well, it's got to be a church organized mm-hmm. thing, or it has to be, mm-hmm. you know, we need the person that's has the title to guide in this direction versus throughout history, the greatest discipleship mm-hmm. avenues God has used is just that. People. I love that. I love how you said it. Just even the looking at each other. What does that mean? I have no clue. Like,
I say that a lot.
Sure.
Reading the Bible.
You know,
I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I loved when we first merged, and I remember our first small group that we were part of. Amy and I. It made me chuckle, but at the same time, it was unfortunate. How many times during our lessons, like there would be a question, and everybody'd sit there, and then they just turn and look at me. Like, what's the answer? And you know, but that's that. Yeah. I mean, I love those moments when I can even say, I don't know, like, mm-hmm. what do you think? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can make something up and not make it up, but I could ram, you know, but I love those moments of just, I have no idea. That's so deep that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons why high school youth, the high school Sunday school class went so well that we could, I mean, I wasn't qualified. It scared me to death to try to stay ahead of those kids. They were sharp. No, I won't go there. But anyway, it was a bird walk. But
I like Mike's bird walks.
I was willing to teach or try and teach, but I knew I had to know the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think those two were probably, I was willing and knew I didn't know much. Mm-hmm. Still don't.
I think those are the two things you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good posture to come from, I think. Yeah. I'm curious, what is your favorite book of the Bible? Do you have a favorite?
Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's so good.
I know, and it's deep.
Yes.
That's a good, yeah. That's, and it's good. One,
you have to know the Old Testament. I mean, that's true for everything, but especially Hebrews, like, there's so much reference to the Old Testament in that book, and it's just a beautiful book.
That was one that I made a commitment. I studied for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I just stayed in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and yes.
Wow.
I could never get enough.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I always had questions. I said, mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Yeah.
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 But it intrigued my mind. I'm a Romans fan also.
Mm, yeah.
And Genesis. There's many of them.
Yeah. So, okay, so I thought of this before and it just jumped back into my head. So, how have you grown, or how has God matured you in your love for the Bible? Like, your love for Scripture? Like, how have you seen that change over?
When I first allowed God to be Lord of my life, I couldn't get enough. But I have also gone through seasons where I've slacked off.
Sure.
One of my spiritual gifts is to teach. And I believe one of the reasons is not that I'm a great teacher, is that I need to be studying.
Mm-hmm.
And it forces me to study when I'm teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The more I read the Bible, the more I don't understand at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that it's my privilege and duty to learn it as best I can.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, go-to, like, study?
Commentaries?
Commentaries, anything that you like? Because I'm reading commentaries for fun now, which is crazy. And weird, but I like it.
I like William Barclay, except he is short on miracles.
Okay.
I like Matthew Henry, but I think he borders on I can't say the name. Not Armenian. The other one.
Calvinist.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I like Wiersbe. But he doesn't go too deep.
Mm-hmm.
I like MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of my go-tos. I have many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Cole also, which I don't even know much about him, except I've read him for years and I can't find anything that I disagree with yet, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember the first time, somebody gave me a copy years ago of the Matthew Henry, like, entire Bible commentary.
Ooh.
And it's a huge book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's huge.
I bet.
And picture this, though. I mean, picture you got some Bibles that are such small print. Like, that's how this was. I mean, it's small print, and it's a lot of. And I remember somebody gave that to me, and the first thought that went through my head is, how does somebody have this much to say about the Bible?
Right?
Like, I mean, legitimately, when I was young, it's like, because. Yeah. But then as I've grown up, it's just, man, that's the beauty of the Word of God, is the Holy Spirit will. Just the amount of truth, it's never ending. But I remember thinking that, like, how does somebody have that much to say about the Bible? And
that's the book I have, and it was given to me from Dottie Reapy from her husband Bob, who used it to go through the Bible.
Yeah, he's another. That's what I. It's awesome because, again, I've read quite a bit of his stuff, but he's another one that. Because it's some old school commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I remember I would use him, and you get to a passage of scripture, and it confuses you. So I remember going to him sometimes and reading him like, you're still confusing me, dude. Yeah. Yep. Like, this was supposed to help me understand this. So, but that's that. You know, yeah. I don't say that to try to scare everybody. That's the beauty of the best teacher is the Holy Spirit. When he wants you to understand it, you'll understand it.
Ooh, that's true.
And when you don't, I've had to learn, okay, obviously I'm not ready for that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
I've had to leave many subjects like that. Said, I don't know. If you want me to know, you're going to have to teach me.
Yeah.
Well, what can we be praying about for you? Is there anything specific that you would love to have prayers for?
Right now, I am kind of searching for my place in the church.
Okay.
Because I've stopped being active elder.
Teaching.
I'm not involved with the youth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't enjoy them, but I just don't relate as well now.
Sure.
And I can tell that. And I'm not teaching right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of looking for my spot.
Okay.
Where God wants me to be working.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll definitely be praying about that.
Yeah.
So don't go out just looking for jobs. I say, now we're for
like, Malia's like, we need to have a conversation.
Meeting afterwards. No, I'm kidding.
Like, don't you worry. We'll bring a plan.
Man, let's just all study the Bible together, Mike.
That's good of me.
Come in staff meetings and we can just study the Bible.
There you go.
That sounds fun.
I mean,
that's what I enjoy.
Same. I was like, yeah, if I could just do that all the time, I would. That'd just be amazing.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, you talk about just studying scripture. The other day, I had a moment where, you know, we live in a very busy world, a mm-hmm. very busy life. And I actually had that thought of, I had this image, because, you know, going through 1 Timothy and stuff for this series and just thinking about that, I was like, man, just think about how many times that they just walk into the new town or just, they had those moments where they could talk
mm-hmm.
and just discuss. And I'm, you know, sometimes I have days where you feel like you're just such on the rush, even picking up the Bible and reading it for a couple minutes, mm-hmm. versus just being able to converse
mm-hmm.
and have those moments. And
there's so many distractions.
Yes. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, I was envious. Let's just put it that way. I was envious of, you know. Now, probably if I lived back then, I'd be complaining. You know, we mean I got to walk to the next town.
These sandals are hurting my feet.
Yeah. It's easy to, you know, and hunt, you know. But yeah, just how often does that not happen? Just, I mean, I think about even getting together with people that are Christians and that how often our conversation never even
mm-hmm.
comes close to talking about God or scripture or truth, not in a lesson sense, but just
mm-hmm.
that's where it naturally goes. Like, we can talk about everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think about that
like
sometimes.
Like horror
movies? Yeah. Unfortunately. So.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for
it's great.
Being
welcome.
On here to
it's
do great. This. We appreciate it. And we hope that we can get you back sometime. Now that we've, like, broken the ice, right?
Yeah.
You know it's not so bad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, she's looking for a co-host. I mean, she'll take new co-hosts all the time. So.
Yeah, we'll have you come back and we'll talk Bible.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Some more. Yeah.
I can ask good questions.
Yeah. See? Yes. And we can stump David.
That's not the response. No.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
No.
Yeah.
Because every time you try to do that, I'll just look at Mike and be like, Mike, you've been studying longer than I have.
Like, and he'll, like, give you the 12-second, like, no talking.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to cut that out, and nobody's happy. And All right. Thanks for listening.